The popular notion of hit songwriting seems to be you have an emotional experience, you take what you just felt, you put it down into words, and preferably while gazing thoughtfully out on a country landscape from the window of a writing nook or a tour bus as America goes streaking by. The fact is, writing a song does take inspiration, but it also takes perspiration and determination and a combination of dreamy idealism, wide-open realism, and bullheaded denialism. Okay, I know that's not a word, but after speaking with our next guest for this fourth episode of our podcast, I think it works. This is Write You a Song. Bryce Long grew up on a farm where he learned the value of hard work. After graduating Middle Tennessee State, he moved to Nashville to pursue a singing career, and for a while he had one opening for artists like Eddie Rabbit. But in 1996, he signed a writing deal with Reba's Starstruck Entertainment. And although he continued to toil away and had album cuts recorded by artists like his one-time roommate, Daryl Worley, it really wasn't until 2004 that Bryce had his first legitimate chart topper, a song he wrote for Gary Allen.
With nothing on but the radio, feel the music playing soft and slow. You and me and the light.
And along the way, his songwriting credits piled up. He wrote more album cuts for people like Chris Stapleton, George Strait, Reba McEntire. And then in 2009, he had another hit, Casey James, Let's Don't Call It a Night.
When you're next to me, there's no place I'd rather be. Everything is feeling so right. So baby, let's don't call it a night.
But it really wasn't until 2014 that Bryce hit his stride with a monster hit for Randy Houser.
Hang my head like I'm here for a while. Kick off my boots and drive you wild like a cowboy.
And since then, he's written some other monster country hits that we'll get into. Bryce Long's story is also the story of a lot of other songwriters in Nashville. Hang in there, never quit believing in yourself, and never give up. Bryce Long, welcome to Write You a Song. Give us your origin story. How did you become a songwriter?
My grandmother played piano in church, and I began singing as a kid. Probably 4 or 5 years old, I guess. And then after that, I just really fell in love with country music and started listening to as much of it as I could and kind of gravitating towards songs that really meant something to me. And then out of that, I start to look to see who, wrote them and see the back of the album covers and then the cassettes and the, records that I loved and just trying to figure out, the whole process. And then as a kid, probably, I'm thinking somewhere around middle school, I probably wrote my first song, I guess, some goofy song about a girl I had a crush on. And
then I have to ask, because, this is supposed to be an in-depth interview. Can you remember any of the lyrics from that song, and would you mind sharing them with us?
Man, I can remember some of them, but I don't want to share them because they're really bad. And the funny thing of it is I still know the girl really well that I wrote them about. She's been a childhood friend and dear friend of mine for years. It's funny. And I don't know that I've ever told her that my very first song I wrote about her, but I'll keep that one under my hat, pal.
Were you like, rhyming?
I don't know that I want to share that.
Were you rhyming like honey with lunch money?
Probably. Probably. There was a whole lot of very simple rhymes in that thing.
Sure.
I can tell you. It's funny to think about, and I don't remember all of it, but it's just funny to think about a few lines in it, and you think about how simple and elementary they were. But at the time, heck, you're just, you're just doing kind of what you feel. And at that point, the cool part about it, too, is, I didn't know enough to kind of second-guess myself, I was just kind of letting it just kind of fall out and thought it was good. At the time I just was doing my thing and didn't critique myself, I guess, as much as I do these days. I just kind of let it happen.
I love it. And one of the things that you're our fourth guest on this show. We've had it for 4 months now. We've talked with three other songwriters, Brett Warren, Jeffrey Steele, Tim Nichols, and now including you. The one, you know, real common denominator is you all have known from a very early age that this is what you were going to do. Music was it. I'm assuming it's the same with you. You didn't have any other distractions. This was kind of a dream of yours from very early on.
Well, yeah. I mean, Tom, I don't know that I always knew this was what I was going to do, but I can always say this is what I always wanted to do.
Okay.
I don't know that any of us knew, you know, hands down, this is what we were going to do. We've all had a dream, and we, you know, I'm not trying to put words in those other guys' mouth, because I'm a fan of all three of those guys, a huge fan of all of them. But we all, I'm sure, had the desire and the want to do it. You know, and along the way, man, we've gotten lucky is the way I look at it. You know, God's blessed us all in a healthy way to be able to, you know, make a living doing what we love to do. And I always wanted to do it from the time I was a kid watching Hee Haw and the CMA Awards and things. Anytime I could see a performance on TV and watch these guys and girls play music, and I always wanted to do it. And I can't honestly tell you, I knew for a fact that I would be able to do it. I knew I was going to give it my best shot, and I knew I wanted to move to Nashville and try it. But you know, I can't necessarily say I knew for a fact that I would be able to do this one day. I always hoped and prayed and dreamed I could, but man, you know, along the way you have to have some really cool things happen to you that are really out of your hands, you know, because I know so many talented, great writers that aren't doing this anymore for a living. And man, there's some of them that I consider a lot more talented than I am, Tom, honestly. And just to have the opportunity to continue to be able to be successful and do what I love for a living, man, I consider it a huge blessing and something that I don't take for granted, man.
Did you ever have moments of doubt where you thought, well, this is it, I'm done, I've hit the wall, I'm going to go back home and find something else?
Well, I think anybody, I think we all have doubt. I think it's whether we let it control us or not. I don't know anybody that's ever been successful in anything that said they didn't consider, you know, well, what if this doesn't work out? You know, everybody wants to say a lot of times, you know, I came into this with, you know, no plan B, no, you know, we all want it to happen. And I don't think any of us really sat down and go, I'm going to plan out my life in case this doesn't happen. You know, I didn't plan out my life in case it didn't happen, but I also was real enough. And with myself, it's like, you know, if it doesn't, I'm going to have to figure something else out. But I was going to work as hard as I could work to make sure it happened. But for me to honestly tell you that I know without a doubt that I was going to do this regardless, man, I can't tell you that. I can tell you I wanted it as bad as anybody's ever wanted it.
Do you still have doubts? Do you still, I mean, could be, you've had obviously quite a bit of success, but do you still second guess yourself from time to time? Or just maybe another way to put it is, do you think there's always room for improvement?
Oh man, yeah, Tom. I try to improve every day. I think there's always room for that. And I think if you ever get in your mind that you know it all, or you've seen it all, or you've done it all, then you know at that point I think it's time for you to go do something else. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I think there's a lot of cool writers coming up, you know, that I've had the chance to write with that have probably learned a lot from me. But man, you know, I got to pay attention and learn from them too, because there's phrases and ways to tell things in today's world that I might say it different, that they say it in maybe a cooler, hipper way, you know. And if I don't pay attention to that, then, you know, my songs, when they get looked at, may not get cut. So, you know, to answer that, I think, I think I learn something every day. At least I keep my eyes open enough to hope I do. And, you know, Tom, to be honest with you, I hope a lot of people learn something from writing with me. You know, I have learned a ton through the years, and I hope that some of that stuff that I learned that rubbed off on me rubs off on other people too, younger writers that, you know, learn something from what I do.
Is there any, like, one bit of golden advice that you pass along to them, or is it just kind of a collection of things that you've picked up over the years?
Well, I think it's a collection of stuff, Tom. I think that I will say this, though, and I can say this about most all successful writers that I know that are really successful is, man, if you don't put in the hours and the work doesn't come, then, you know, you might luck out and get on a song or two by being in the room or being in the right place at the right time. But if you're going to be successful and do it for, you know, 24, 5 years and then hopefully beyond, man, I think that's work. I think that's just putting in the hours. I think that's showing up every day and doing your best and trying to find ideas before you get in the room with people and looking for, you know, opportunities to get better and staying, you know, kind of current with your ideas and kind of current with what's going on in the business. And whether you're a supporter, you know, 100% or you wish, you know, maybe some things hadn't changed, but you have to, I think to be successful for many years, I think, you know, you really have to work hard at it. And you've also got to be open and not jaded and you know, try to bring what you do to, you know, to the new style of what's going on.
When you go into a room, either by yourself or with other writers, do you go in with a blank slate, or are you constantly collecting ideas? And then when you have the time, you sit down and start sifting through those ideas and go, oh, well, this one might work.
Well, I think it's some of both. I think we, you know, I know I do. I have titles that I keep all the time on my phone and on my computer. And, you know, some days I look at them and go, man, you, I don't know what you wrote that down for. You're crazy. And then, you know, another week goes by and I may look at it and say that out loud and somebody go, oh, my gosh, I love that. And, you know, and some things that, yeah, some things I start by myself some things I just have titles that I, you know, save for people that I think might like them, you know, whether it's an artist writer or other songwriters that I know I'm always going to get a great song with because we've, you know, always hit that mark through the years. And, you know, I think all of us do that, you know, in a world of co-writing so much is kind of where we're at today, whether it's artist writes or other writers. You know, I think we all owe it to ourselves as much as the other writers in the room to have something, whether it's the thing you write that day or not. You know, I feel like we all have to have something that day when we show up.
And can that something be a melody?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Melody, a title, a few lines. I think it can be all that.
When you go into that writer's room and you sit down and you start writing, are you swinging for the fences and looking for a hit every time, or do you just let the song be what it is? And
well, you know, Tom, in our business and state of business we are, you know, we're all wanting to write singles. I mean, we all want it radio airplay because, as you know, the sales are down and where a guy used to be able to have a publishing deal and recoup that deal based on a few songs that, you know, were mechanicals coming in, those days are gone. I mean, that's not going to happen very often.
And you're talking about having album cuts that never get released, but because the album sells well, you're getting a cut of that money.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've had this conversation with writers that have been here as long as I have that talk about, you know, writers that maybe didn't, you know, in a pub deal year to year, didn't have a big single on the radio, but they might have had two or three cuts on albums that sold platinum or double platinum or triple platinum back when we sold a lot of records, and they could recoup their advances based on, you know, just having cuts on records. And man, those days are gone for us. So in our minds, I think we all sat down today wanting to write a hit. I think we all, you know, strive to write something that'll get played on radio. But you also have to be mindful of a song that I feel like, you know, needs to be written because it's the song. And I don't, I don't stand in the way of that. I never have. You know, I'll write somebody's idea or idea of mine knowing, man, it's probably never get on the radio, but I love it and I want to write it. And maybe somebody will cut it and just put it on a record, you know. And you know, I have writers that are cool with that, too. And they go, man, I just love that idea. Let's write it, you know. And if we can turn it in a way that maybe it'll sound a little more commercial or a little more, tempo as opposed to a ballad, a mid that might get on the radio, then we're probably going to do that. I think, you know, you owe it to yourself because, you know, you're wanting to stay in the business and remain viable for other writers to want to write with you. And I think the way you do that is to have success on radio because, you know, it's so important today.
Have you ever had one of those songs where you just wrote it to write it, surprise you and become a hit?
Oh, man. Yeah, you know what? To be honest with you, yes, I can. And the song was Anything Goes that Hauser cut, the very first,
that
Randy put out.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, John Wiggins and I wrote that song together, Tom, and I'll be the first one to tell you, and I think John would agree, that when we wrote that song, we thought, man, I don't know if anybody will ever cut this song. Because it was so real and it was so honest, and John and I had both been there. We knew how the story was and what it was about, and it was John's title, and I'll never forget when he told me that title. I was blown away, and I thought, man, we got to write that. And we wrote most of it one day, and then a few weeks or months went by, and kind of revisited it and finished the song, and man, I didn't know if it ever get cut, to be honest with you. You know, at that time, there weren't a lot of real lyrical country-esque ballads being cut. But I know when Randy said he first heard that song, he knew he would cut it. He wanted it that bad because he said, man, I was there. I knew that story. And you guys had written such a, you know, well-written song with a great melody I wanted to sing. And he said, I knew the first time I heard it, I wanted to cut it.
Normally this time of night, you wouldn't find me here. I'd be reaching for a good night kiss instead of one more beer. I never take a second look at the blonde across the bar, much less invite her over. Let things go this far, but anything goes when everything's gone.
And speaking of Randy Hauser, you also wrote a huge hit for him, in fact, nominated for CMA Song of the Year. And one of the, to me, being in radio, one of the best showcase songs for a guy's vocal prowess that I've ever heard, and that's Like a Cowboy. When he hits that note at the end, it's like, we played that song 1,000 times, and the hair on the back of my neck still stands up.
Like a cowboy. Every time I fall, I get back up again. Cinch my saddle up and find me another wind.
Do you remember when you wrote that song, and did you know at that time it was going to go to Randy and that it was going to become the song that it became?
Oh, yeah, man. Randy and I wrote that song together, and Randy, you know, knew he was leaving Show Dog and didn't have a record deal in place, but he needed the songs. And so we had, booked 2 or 3 days to write. And, you know, the thing I love about him probably more than anything is just his, his vocals, man. I mean, he, to me, is one of the best singers that this format has ever seen. I think hands down, he should have been male vocalist 10 times over in CMA and ACM. And that's my opinion, but it'll always be my opinion because, like you said, to showcase a vocal like a cowboy really did that. And it was something Randy wanted to write. You know, I remember him saying, you know how George and Garth always had those cowboy songs on their records? And I said, yeah. And he goes, man, I want to write one of those. And so we wrote Like a Cowboy. And I think Randy knew it from the day we wrote it, that he was going to cut it and wanted to put it out. And God bless him for sticking to his guns, because I know it was the first thing that he and Derek George cut that got him the record deal at Stony Creek. But, you know, it was the fourth single off that record. And I remember being kind of uneasy about it after they went one single, two singles, and the third single wasn't ours. And Randy told me on the bus, I was riding with him, and he said, "Man, I'm telling you, I will not leave this record until this comes out as a single. I will not go on and make another record till this song comes out as a single." And, man, he stuck to his guns, and it was the fourth single off the record. And like you said, it was a huge, huge hit for him. Stayed on the charts about 45 or 6 weeks, I think. And, man, I'm just, I'm a fan. And he's a hell of a songwriter and a great guy. And in my opinion, absolutely one of the best vocalists that country music's ever known.
And another artist that you've had a lot of success with lately is a guy that we're quite familiar with. This podcast originates from KNCI Radio in Sacramento. And just down the road is this place called Dixon, California. And that's where John Party grew up and is from. And we love everything about John and the success that he's having. And you had a hand in writing one of my absolute favorite, not just John Party songs, but favorite country songs of the last, I don't know how many years. It's from his Write You a Song album, and it's called What I Can't Put Down. I love the lyrics in that song, the vibe, everything about it is just, it's a crank it up to 11 kind of song.
You know, the funny thing about that song, and I'm a huge fan of that song too, and I you know, if that song would have been on the California Sunrise record, I think it would have been a huge hit, a multi-week number one.
I couldn't believe it never got released. I think it did get released, but it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. It was the last single off that record, and I think it might have made it to 29 or something like that. But, man, it's to watch it live, and he still plays it today. And I know John's always said, "Man, I'll always play that song in my live show," because it's one of his favorite songs, and it's one of his fans' favorite songs, too. But actually, that was a title that Bart Butler had. And Bart, I think at this time maybe he hadn't had very many cuts, and he actually wanted to write that song with me, that title with me, because he wanted a Gary Allen cut, and that's the truth. We started that song because Gary had been good to me, and I'd had a couple hits on him and cuts, and Gary was going in to cut again. He's coming around for a record, and Bart was wanting to write that title as a Gary Allen thing, and that's the way we started it, he and I together, at a different melody and the whole deal, and had written a couple of those verses, and John, because Bart was working with John at that time, Bart had told him that we were working on that song, and he freaked out about the title and some of the lyrics and stuff, and John took it upon himself to come up with that melody. Because
He
wanted to be on that song that bad. Yeah, that's the truth.
Huh.
He wanted to be on that. He wanted to be a part of that song because he loved the title and loved where the lyrics and stuff were headed. And he came in with that, wanted to finish, and asked Bart to ask me if he could, you know, if we could finish it together, because he loved it. And I said, "Sure, man, you know, whatever, you know, I know John's cutting a record, and heck yeah, I'd love to be a part of it." And so John came in and actually played the melody of kind of what he was hearing with the title and that kind of thing. And then we went and finished the song for John.
I knew the first time should have been the last time I ever let the whiskey touch my lips. Cause the devil wears black and he goes by Jack, and he's really good at helping me forget.
And I'm a huge fan of that song, too. I love that song, and I love John's performance, and I'm thankful that he brought that melody and cared enough about hearing that title to just go, "Man, I want to be a part of this. I love this kind of idea, and I want it for myself."
And it's all or nothing, so keep it coming. Let that feeling run through my veins. Ain't no stopping. Keep on rocking, yeah. It seems I'm always, yeah, I'm always picking up what I can't put down. Yeah, I'm always picking up what I can't put down.
See, and that's what you're talking about now is another thing that all three other songwriters that I've talked to have mentioned, and that is, as a writer, you got to have some flexibility. You got to be able to, you know, recognize when something comes along that might shift the shape of your song a little bit, but roll with it because you recognize that that might be the way the song is supposed to go.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, in that particular case, John, you know, I believed in John from the first time I met him. I was introduced to him by Bart, and I thought, man, this guy is has got so much energy and so much drive. And then when I got to see him play live, I remember I remember the thing I think that really, you know, kind of pushed me over the top is he was playing acoustic and kind of threw a little band together, and they were playing a place there in town. And then he went over and picked up a Telecaster and started playing it. And I remember looking at him going, boy, you're a star. I mean, when he put that thing on and wore it and sang and played, I thought, yeah, man, there's no doubt John Pardee's a star. So when he, you know, felt that confident about wanting to be a part of that song and really knew that idea was for him, I think, you know, in my mind was like, heck yeah, man, tell him to come on. I mean, you know, because I think anybody will tell you today in our world today, you know, if you're writing a song and the artist is a part of it, you stand that much better of a chance of getting it cut and being on the record than trying to write something, you know, just on your own and pitching it. I mean, not that it doesn't happen, because it does, but you know, your percentages rise when you write it with an artist and they have an opportunity to kind of, you know, mold it to their style and what they want to do, you know, if they're songwriters and, you know, knows what he wants to do. And I can be the first one to tell you, when it comes to John Pardee, you sit down with him in a room, he knows exactly what he wants and he knows exactly what he don't want. Because, man, if you know, you don't have to worry when you write with him to think, well, I wonder if he likes it, or I wonder if he, man, John will tell you. And then, you know, he'll pick that guitar up and go to work with you.
And you hit number one with him on Heartache on a Dance Floor.
She was a heartache on the dance floor.
John jumped on the bus that night singing, where's she at, where's she at, where's she at tonight? I mean, he was playing that little riff and he goes, man, I don't know what this is, but can we make something out of this? And I was like, oh, my gosh, man, if we don't mess this up, we're going to write a hit song. And we did. I mean, we wrote that song, and then right behind it, that same day, we wrote Heartache on the Dance Floor, and we wrote All Time High right behind it. Those two songs that are both on the California Sunrise record, we wrote together on that trip, I think 2014 maybe.
Yeah, you're my midnight trip ride. Yeah, you're stronger than moonshine. My backwoods homegrown baby, you so fine. Girl, I want to roll you up and smoke you.
Wow, those are great stories. I love them.
Well, it's just the truth, man. I mean, that's kind of the way it happened. And I think maybe we wrote like five songs on that trip, but those two, especially, I do remember writing them back to back.
Cause baby, you my all-time high. Fly me right up into the sky.
Like I said, I you know, Tom, you know, you got to show up and you got to be there. But, man, I'm a true believer. And God blesses us at the times when he knows we need it. And you know, it isn't every day that you sit down and write a hit. It's every day you show up and go to work. And there's certain days that he kind of sprinkles a little special dust on there or kind of finishes it out the way it's supposed to where it works. And, man, I just, you know, as a writer, I think from my personal experience and what I do, you know, I do my best to show up and matter every day. And I can guarantee you the other three guys you've had on this podcast, they'll say the same thing, man, because I know those boys and I know how hard they work at it. And I know how hard they worked at it through their careers. You know, it's a lot of people say, you know, songwriting, you know, people have asked me through the years, they're like, man, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a songwriter. They go, yeah, but what do you do for a living? I said, man, I'm a songwriter. It's a job. And it is a job. I mean, I come from a family, man, that worked hard. My dad worked us really hard as kids, man. We grew a lot of tobacco and hay. And man, I can tell you firsthand, I know what it's like to put in a day's hard work, several days. And I will say this, at the time, I can't say I enjoyed every day of that hot sun and tobacco patch and everything that we had to work in growing up. But what it did for me is it taught me the value of working and gave me a work ethic that I feel like I have continued to, you know, stay after and turn right into being a songwriter. I don't quit just because it's, oh, man, you know, I'm tired or whatever. You know, you keep hashing it out and hopefully, you know, the lines come. But, man, a lot of that's got to do with just knowing how to work, man, and being willing to get in there and do the work to achieve the success.
Well, Bryce Long, thank you very much for sharing your story today. Continued success. We really appreciate you taking time.
Well, Tom, thank you, man, for doing this, and I hope you know, I hope there's a lot of writers and people out there that kind of get something from it. You know, like I said before, I'm a fan of the other guys that have done this, and I know you've gotten a lot of great information, and for you to put it together and try to get it out, you know. When I was young and learning, I would have loved to have the opportunity to, you know, to be able to sit and listen to a podcast like this and get some information and kind of stories of what it's like to do what we do.
And that will do it for this month's edition of Write You a Song. Thanks again to Bryce Long for being our special guest. If you'd like to find out more about Bryce, he's got a great website, just brycelongmusic.com. Write You a Song is a production of Bonneville Communications International and New Country, 105.1 KNCI in Sacramento, California, USA. If you like this podcast, take a moment and rate it, share it. Let's keep giving songwriters their due, because without them, what would we have to listen to? Join us next month on Write You a Song when our guest is the guy who wrote these.
Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands.
God, I'm asking you to come change me into the man I want to be.
All night goes when the sun goes down. We'll be grooving when the sun goes down. We're feeling all right when the sun sinks down. Over the water, everything gets hotter when the sun goes down, yeah.
And that's just scratching the surface. Brett James will join us next time on Write You a Song.